not touch that button.
It's a show with hit written all over.
Stay tuned for more of your favorites on KLMJ.
This is Eric Reichards from First Bank Hampton. It's the perfect time to start planning for the upcoming season, and we are here to help you grow. With our range of agricultural loans, you can get the resources you need, whether it's new equipment, seed, or operating capital. Our experienced team understands the challenges you face, and we offer flexible solutions tailored to your operation. Reach out to us today to discuss how we can support your farm this year. Call 641-456-4793 or stop by First Bank Hampton. Let's make this season a successful one with our lenders on your side. Member FDIC.
At First Bank Hampton, we believe in supporting our communities and our kids. That's why we offer products like the NextGen app. If you've got kids, download it today. This is First Bank Hampton President Tyler Herron, and that support of our communities is also why we're proud to sponsor the Radio on the Go Newsmaker program. Informative, local, and timely information Monday through Friday on 104.9 KLMJ and available at radioonthego.com. With today's newsmaker interview, here's Mitch Williams.
Today we are joined by Brian Borkerding, Information Systems Officer at First Bank Hampton. Here in the last couple of weeks, you probably heard about spoof calls around the area. That's where someone calls and acts like they're working for another business, and well, that's when the scamming can begin. So we'll kind of dive deep into this a little bit, talking about spoofing. And Brian, thanks as always for talking about an issue that is not going to go away.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, Brian, can you talk about what happens in a spoof call? Because someone can say, I'm so-and-so Tom from this business, and thus the person receiving the call can probably think, hey, this is legit. I've heard that name at that business before. So just kind of elaborate.
Sure. It's been happening a lot lately, especially in the Hampton area. The attacker will pretend to be a business, or hypothetically speaking, could be a bank. The attacker will use caller ID to call your phone. Just keep in mind that it's easy for an attacker to spoof a caller ID of a business. So the caller ID may show the correct phone number. It may show that it's the name of the bank or the name of the business, but you don't ever want to trust that caller ID. Another thing that the attackers will use, which is very convenient and easy for them to get, is an employee's name at that business. Now, as we discussed, you could just use a generic name like a Tom or a Bob or a Tim. But a quick Google search, you can find an employee at a business or at a bank. So it's easy enough to use the caller ID and the employee's name to actually get the narrative started when the spoof call starts.
Yeah, and you mentioned, so names are all over the place, whether it's, you know, with us, our names are online too, so they can easily do that. Should that person just automatically hang up and come over to any place that was called and make sure nothing was affected, I guess?
Right. I would start by hanging up. You could call the same number back. You're not going to call the hackers back. You're actually going to call the business that did call. The spoof doesn't work backwards as far as the caller ID goes. So yeah, you may call the business to verify what actually happened. Then you can verify that this incident actually happened. And you want to have the same awareness with emails as well. If you get an email from someone from a legitimate business with a legitimate email address asking for something, and you just were not expecting this email at all, that has an attachment or has a link, you may want to use some kind of out-of-band communication, like call the business and make sure that, hey, this email is actually legit. So that works both ways, whether it's a phone call or an email.
So you said when someone calls that number back, it's already, they're spoofing an ID, so the ID is legit, the phone number is real, so they'll be calling the business back instead of the actual hacker.
Correct, yeah. Sorry to add confusion there, but yeah. So the hacker, they actually faked the caller ID when they called. So they faked the name, they faked the phone number, but when you hang up and you actually dial the number back, you'll actually call a legitimate business.
Again, Brian Borkerding, Information Systems Officer at First Bank Hampton, joining us today as we talk about spoof calls, as you've heard, around the Hampton area, around Franklin County here the last couple of weeks. And I think another important thing, too, is when these hackers do call is the thing of they'll always ask possibly for personal information, but
that's
never
a good
give
thing.
It unless you're face-to-face.
Right. So the key component there is if the business or the bank were to call the customer. In the bank's example, we already have all your information. We already have your account number, your social security number, your birth date. You really shouldn't have to provide that information to the person that's calling you. Now, in situations like if you call the bank and we're wanting an account balance or something like that, you're the person that initiated that call to the bank, and we're asking those questions because we want to verify that you're actually the person who called. So if you're the person who initiates the call, we may ask for information like your account number, your social security number. However, if you have an incoming call, you're unsure if it's actually a legitimate business or not, or if it's a hacker or a bad guy. That's the situation where you don't want to give out that kind of information.
So kind of going on scams, but a little different than phone number spoofing, is another thing I believe happened that some with the school here in the last week or two was an email was sent out by, it looked like an employee of the school. Now, there wasn't a hazardous attachment within the email, but you could preview PDF file, but it went in a PDF file. That's where it comes. So I guess, is that in short, say that person's email account was hacked at some point? Or how?
Right. This type of hack has been increasing a lot lately regarding vendors, banks. In this situation, it was a school. The actual term it uses, it's called business email compromise. What happened is an attacker got access to a legitimate email address, whether it's a school, a business, a bank. They, in turn, log into that email address and then send out an email to everybody in the contacts list. And then what they're trying to do is they'll send a link that'll go to a malicious website that'll download a virus onto your computer, or it may have an attachment where you open up the attachment and it's asking for your username and password. They're trying to get you to accidentally put your username and password in there, so then they capture your username and password so they can use it in other places. So the key there to keep in mind is if you always correspond emails-wise with someone with legitimate business and you get a strange email from them with a link or an attachment with them, use some kind of outbound communication to get a hold of them. Try and give them a phone call and say, hey, I just got a really strange email from you. Is this email actually legit? Or did you mean to send me an attachment? Or there's a link to a website. Did you really mean to send this link to me? So be very careful. This is on the rise, and it's a very successful way that the hackers are actually getting information out of consumers.
And to go on that, every time we talk, you say the phrase, these people are getting very smart.
Yeah.
It's true to this day.
Right. Just a reminder, this is a $2 trillion enterprise worldwide. There are attackers and hackers that actually make a living doing this. And to spoof a caller ID, to go out and search an employee name, even to just purchase some of this information like your social security number or account number on the dark web, you know, it's very cost effective for them to do this. They actually make a living doing this, so they are very good at what they do. And that's why these attacks are getting more and more sophisticated. For one thing, the consumers are getting better at detecting this stuff, but on the other hand, these people are really actually making a living doing this. So it's not, I wouldn't call it a legitimate business, but it's a real business.
It's an industry, essentially.
Exactly. Yep.
Unfortunately. Again, Brian Borkerding, Information Systems Officer at First Bank Hampton, joining us. We talk a lot about scams with him, and rightfully so, because they're getting more intelligent. There's new ones. In the past, we talked about skimmers at the gas pump. We talked about grandparent scams. Now today, we're talking more about phone number spoofing and texting. And Brian, we already hit well over 7, almost 8 minutes here. But anything else you'd like to add? Because there's always so much to talk about with this. I just think it's so important to inform the public that, you know, a business is not going to call you and just randomly say, give us your full social security number, give us your full bank, you know.
Absolutely.
Go there and make sure, go face-to-face, don't do it by number. But anything else you'd like to add?
At this point in time, no. I mean, the scams, all this stuff will be changing constantly. I'm sure we'll be in touch regarding the next scam or the next technology or the next complication that consumers are getting tripped up on.
Very true. Well, Brian, as always, appreciate you taking the time joining us to inform us. And again, it's a newer scam that we talked about here today, but we'll talk down the road as well.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's Brian Borkerding, today's guest on the Newsmaker program.
Thank you, Mitch. At First Bank Hampton, we're proud of our strong tradition in supporting Hampton, Franklin County, and surrounding communities. Between offering products like the NextGen app to help our kids learn about money, to sponsoring local informative content like the Newsmaker program, First Bank Hampton will always remain invested in your interests. To hear today's interview in its entirety, listen on demand at radioonthego.com or in the Radio On The Go mobile and TV apps. Newsmaker is a local news program presented by your friends at First Bank Hampton.
Hi, Hi, this is Teresa Fielding with First Bank Hampton. We have the perfect tool to kick off your New Year's resolutions. Start fresh and reach your financial goals with Insights, the free budgeting tool available exclusively for customers in digital banking. Insights help you track your spending, set budgets, and stay motivated all year long. Take control of your finances. Try First Bank Hampton's digital banking and activate Insights today. Your resolutions deserve support, and we're here to help. Make this your best year yet with Insights. Member FDIC.